Well, good morning, everyone. This is Todd Zwillick in Washington, D.C. this morning at Takeaway Studios in Washington, and I'm here with Celeste Headlee. Well, I'm not here with her. She's in New York, but we're on your radio together. Hi, Celeste.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, Celeste, did they ever really go anywhere? The political primaries, they continue today with more and more voting. Tomorrow polls open in Alaska, Vermont, and Arizona, and Florida. And we're going to focus on Florida races today because there's gubernatorial primary and Senate primary shaping up. Voters will decide whether a longtime legislator or a billionaire newcomer will be the Democratic nominees in one of the most closely watched and unusual Senate primaries in the nation. That Democratic nominee now will eventually face off against Governor Charlie Crist, used to be a Republican, now he's an independent, and also against former State House Speaker Marco Rubio. He's the Republican candidate. He's also the Tea Party favorite. Got your head all around that? Hey, it's Florida. Why should it be simple? Well, joining us now for a look ahead to Tuesday's vote and what Florida can tell us about the national political mood are Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald, and Kate Zernike, reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and author of Boiling Mad, Inside Tea Party America. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sergio, let's talk about this Democratic primary first, because that's where the big voting takes place tomorrow. Establishment candidate, a sitting congressman from Miami, and a rich guy. Sounds like kind of familiar territory. What are we looking at?
Well, this is a delicious race for us here. Once Jeff Green, the billionaire, wealthy real estate tycoon, entered, and he brought names like Heidi Fleiss and Mike Tyson to our to the race, it made for a lot of fun. But it looks like at this time, although the polls have gone back and forth, voters have gone with the kind of the better the devil they know than the better than the devil they don't. They seem to be leaning toward the career politician,
Kendrick Meek.
Right.
Right. Now, Kendrick Meek is a congressman, right, who had big name recognition, but it was really money, wasn't it, that gave him a big problem. Tell us about the billionaire challenger here, the friend of Mike Tyson and Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah. Jeff Green basically had outspent Kendrick Meek by about four times over. So Kendrick basically ran this ground game so far, and he's gone all over the state several times. This weekend he's been going all over again, and he's really gotten the ground troops to his side, if you believe the polls. But the polls have gone back and forth all summer. And actually, down here in Florida, early voting has already started and ended yesterday. So about a third of the voters down here have already cast their ballots. So Tuesday will finally be the D-Day.
And the winner of that Democratic primary then gets in a three-way race with Marco Rubio, who's the Republican and the Tea Party favorite, and Charlie Crist, the sitting governor, as we mentioned, now an independent because he realized a long time ago he couldn't win as a Republican in this environment. That's going to be a crazy three-way race, it seems, once it finally shapes up.
Exactly. I think the TV stations are really going to really benefit with all the TV advertising that's going to go on.
So, Kate Zernike, let me bring you in here. You're an expert on Tea Party America. Marco Rubio is the Republican now. There would have been two. Now there's only one Republican and the Tea Party favorite. But he's not I don't know if there is an average Tea Partier, but he's certainly not it.
No, he's not. I mean, he is someone. Your average Tea Partier is someone who is coming from outside politics, who hates politics. He's come up through politics. He's the former Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives, and so definitely an establishment politician. And in many ways, he's tried to distance himself from the Tea Party and say, I'm not the Tea Party candidate. And he's benefited from not only the Tea Parties, but also sort of a conservative revolt within the Florida Republican Party. So a real Tea Party candidate is someone like Rand Paul, maybe, who really believes in this, you know, libertarian ideology of the Tea Party. But Marco Rubio has definitely benefited from their enthusiasm and their energy, which is really what's going to be important this election cycle.
All right. Well, every time there's a big high-profile primary, Kate, we sort of look for the national lesson. You know, in South Carolina, oh, it means Sarah Palin's got a lot of clout. In Kentucky, you mentioned Rand Paul, it means, oh, the Tea Party is resurgent. Or maybe in Colorado, where the White House's Senate pick won a primary, we say, oh, the White House still has clout. It's not so anti-incumbent as we thought. Can you help us step back here and get a little bit of perspective? Florida is supposed to be the jewel of a swing politics. What are we going to learn in not only this primary, but in this general election about the state of the Tea Party?
I think, well, first of all, I think what happens with these primaries is that everyone sort of proves the rule except for one little footnote or asterisk.
Except so, what doesn't, right?
Exactly. So I think, you know, look, Florida is always tells us something but doesn't because it's big. The media market is expensive. But I do think, you know, again, we're going to see how much this, not so much anti-incumbent, but outsider movement is going to, how much people are going to really go for outsiders. I think it's true more on the Republican side than on the Democratic side, which I think explains what happened in Colorado. And I think that's why Florida may be a little more representative on the Republican side, because they really did not. I mean, Charlie Crist was the ultimate insider, the kind of Republican that Tea Party voters looked at and said, this guy's made all these compromises with liberals. He's too much middle of the road. We don't want to compromise with Democrats.
And
we
out
want
he
people
went.
Who are more pure.
Sergio, in Florida this year, are all politics local, or is this just a big national race? Are there maybe BP and the oil washing up on the Gulf Coast is an issue? I don't know. What's big in Florida for you guys?
Well, it's the old adage from a few years back. It's the economy again, stupid.
Yeah.
The job situation here is really difficult. The unemployment numbers are up. And also, you know, the foreclosure crisis is still with us all over many parts of Florida.
Now, immigration still has to be a big issue in Florida. That's a national issue. It's got to be an issue in Florida.
Yeah, although it's more of a symbolic issue for a lot of Latinos down here, because the Cubans have certain immigration rights because they've gotten because of the Cuban dictatorship, and then Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. So it's not as big an issue down here as it is elsewhere.
Right, and you've got, you know, we should mention the Republican gubernatorial primary, the governor's race shaping up, another rich guy. People might remember Attorney General Bill McCollum, who's the establishment candidate from back in the impeachment days.
Correct. What's going to happen here, what's interesting is the question is money can't buy you love. What's going to be tested here is whether money can buy you the governor's mansion and a seat in the Senate.
Doesn't that sound familiar? Sergio Bustos, politics expert in Florida for us, Kate Zernike from our partner, The New York Times, talking about the Florida governor's race, primary Senate race for the Democrats, and then get ready for a hodgepodge of a three-way race in the Florida Senate race coming up. Boy, it is the crown jewel. It doesn't get much more confusing than in Florida. Thanks, guys. We'll be watching.